I'm having a goddamn blast on tour with this Big Mouth and a Small Town tour. So I've added some dates and wanted to let you know where I'm headed next. March 14th, I will be in Lakeside, Arizona. And then the 15th and 16th, I'm finally coming to Tucson. So if you're in Tucson, I'm coming to Laughs Comedy Cafe. Get your tickets. We're going to have a good time. My good friend Noah Kopfer will be featuring at those shows. He'll also be with me the following weekend when I come to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Grins, I cannot wait to see you guys again. Those are always some of my favorite shows, and I'm sure this year will be no exception. And then I am headed up to my home state of Alaska for the Alaska Before You Die Fest. Anchorage, you better not fucking sit on these tickets. They're going fast. There's a few left. April 5th, I will be doing shows at the Gumbo House. It's downtown. I'm doing an early and a late show, one night only. It's an intimate venue, so tickets are limited. It's going to be out of control. If you've come to my show at Coots before, you know how fun they are. This venue is so much better for comedy. I can't even explain it. Just get fucking tickets. These shows are going to be wild. And then on the 6th, I'm headed down to Homer, Alaska. I am coming, performing there for the first time. Alice's Champagne Palace. And then on the 7th, I will be in Seward, Alaska. So Anchorage, Homer, Seward, we're having a goddamn good time. I'm going to come kill it all those shows because I'm a fucking Alaskan assassin. Am I sorry I said that? I don't know. Listen, Dayton, Kentucky, 12th of April. If you are in the Cincinnati-ish area, Dayton, Ohio, Dayton, Kentucky, this is your chance to see me at a really cool new venue called the Commonwealth Sanctuary. And then I am headed to Portland, May 3rd. I'm headlining the Rip City Comedy Festival. I will be at McMenamin's Mission Theater. You guys, this is a cool theater. We want it to be packed out because of course I want it to be packed out. But also, like, let's have a goddamn good time in this nice, beautiful theater. So come to that. It's going to be a hell of a time. I can't wait to come back to Portland. And then Wisconsin, I'm headed back your way. But this time I'm coming to Janesville, May 17th and 18th. Green Bay on the 19th. And then what up, Florida? St. Pete, Tampa. I'm coming your way. Tampa, I will be there June 2nd. And St. Pete, they're ahead of that, May 31st. Tampa, I'm at Side Splitters. And if you go to the links in all of my bios or go to their website to get tickets, for a limited time, you can use the code JMS and get $5 off tickets. And wherever you are, I'm trying to get people to buy tickets early instead of waiting to the last minute and making me panic, so that if it is going to sell out, it sells out faster, so that I know that, the club knows that, maybe we can add a second show. It just FYI, that helps every artist that you're a fan of. So if you can ever buy ASAP, go ahead and do that. So that's your incentive to buy early in Tampa. And I'll be adding more dates soon. If you did not hear your town, but you want me to come there, head over to my Instagram, instagram.com/JMS Comedy, or just at JMS Comedy if you're using the app like most of us. Click the link in my bio, join my email list. That lets me know where you guys are so I know what areas want to come see me. So do that. I can't wait to get to more cities. I'm having so much fucking fun on the road. You guys have been amazing. People have been buying merch. These audiences have been out of control good, just electric, laughing, having a blast. And I know all these upcoming shows are going to be no exception. So I will see you there. JMScomedy.com/shows to get your tickets. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. We're going to have a fucking good time either way. So thanks for listening to this little promo. Enjoy this episode. Ta-ta, idiots.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance's Blast podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Hey, idiots, thank you for continuing to listen to the Top 40 Countdown of Ignorance is Blessed, leading up to a brand new season starting on November 8th. This is episode 33, and this one's really fucking cool. This is my high school friend. We played soccer together. At the time we recorded this, she was living in Prague as a professional opera singer. She's still singing, but she's back in the States. She's a mom now. Lots happened since this came out. in 2018, but this is a fun convo and I'm just so excited. Again, I'll say it every time, maybe, probably not at this point, but it's just cool seeing the different episodes that you guys got into in this countdown. It's all over the place. It's cool seeing you guys learn about different things and the kind of topics you definitely leaned towards. And this was mixed in there. And I love that. I love my friend Sydney. I love that you guys love her. So I'm excited to share her again with new followers, new subscribers, or give people who listen to the original episode a chance to re-listen to one of their favorites. So that's that. And there it is. Also, you may have noticed two episodes ago, I did the underlying banjo that I have classically done in the intros. And then I haven't been doing it in these. Just literally saving time because I'm banking all of these and there's so much going on and, you know, time saver stuff. Yay, efficiency, hooray. But let me know what you think about that, having the banjo underneath versus not having it. The best way to do that, join the Facebook group, Ignorance is Blessed Idiots. You'll be prompted with a question, just mention the podcast. And it's a good way to ask questions of upcoming guests, suggest the type of guests you'd like to see. Yada, yada, yada. But I would love your opinion on that. Anyway, wow, it's late and I should take a break. But here I am workaholicking around. I'm shutting the fuck up. Enjoy this episode with Sydney Wagner. Oh my gosh. Hi, everybody. I am here with Sydney Wagner.
Hi.
Opera extraordinaire.
Sort of.
Person from my childhood years.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have done at this point like an intro and I'll do like a whole high school, like soccer or whatever. Let's just fucking get into it because I think it's crazy that you do opera. And I'm saying that as a person who tells like butthole jokes for a living, which
yes.
is how do you, okay. Because I didn't know.
It is crazy. That's
I didn't know fair. You even sang.
Yeah. So I sang, I was really into like musical theater.
Okay.
And I played the violin and I just like wanted to be on stage because I'm a middle child and I like attention and
I get it. I
need
get it.
That, you know,
like look at me.
Yeah. So I just needed attention, but I actually didn't get into opera until I went to college for music and ended up in a program that was completely classical. And I was like, oh my God, get me the fuck out of here. I can't.
Oh wow.
Yeah. I wanted to be like
a pop star?
Yes. I wanted to like...
Because that's what I was like, yeah. How did you end up in opera?
Yeah, yeah. So I was in Boston and I was like, I'm going to be the next Natalie Maine. So I can go to Berkeley and like meet like John Mayer's next of, you know, and like, that was going to be my future. And I hated my first year. And I had dabbled a little bit in classical music, but I had no idea what I was getting into. And then after a year of hating it, I grew to love it.
Really?
Yeah. So I was in like a really strict classical program and it ended up being like, oh,
so you were like, fuck this for a year.
Yeah.
And then you're
for
like,
a whole year. I was like, get me out. This is awful.
That's just really telling for anyone who like wants to try something new that you might not love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, opera. So you had never done any opera until
I had done like some classical work. And I think to be honest, like in retrospect, the reason I think I gravitated towards it is I love acting, I love being on stage, I played in the orchestra, and I loved singing.
Yeah.
And so what I realized early on as a young person, like, oh, actually, if you want to do all those things, it's the opera that does all of those.
Oh, wow.
So you're acting, you're on stage, you're with the orchestra, you get to be in a costume, you get to be working with other
fun
people.
Fun costumes,
so it's, yeah, super fun. Crazy wigs and all that.
I want to just wear crazy wigs all the
crazy
time.
Crazy wigs, there's... and. Yeah, so that was another thing I discovered during my undergrad. Like, I would sit in the wig shop because I thought it was the coolest job. That this woman, like, that's her job, or man, that they're a wig master. That's what they do. I mean, you talk about being, it's weird that you're an opera singer. Like,
such a specific thing.
Yeah, someone is walking around as the wig master for certain theaters, like, which is just wild.
They're like, I have the perfect one.
What a job, huh?
What like, a, yeah. What happens to you that you end up being like, I know what I want to do.
A wig master.
Give hair to other people. Fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So operas, I know nothing of opera.
Okay. Fair.
I know that
most
it's
people don't.
Like, I just picture like the fat lady in the horns from the fucking Looney Tunes cartoons.
And I'm which like, actually they use like legitimate, like, real
music, right? Yeah, I didn't learn that till later on. Yeah. I don't know any of it.
Very, like, Looney Tunes is, like, very high culture. So
that's so funny.
They, like, actually use, like, the Rossini and the Wagner and, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, super highbrow cartoon.
Do you know what opera is the one with... Is there more than one with the Viking horn tit lady? Yeah. Because I was like, that is a dream role.
Actually, yes. And if you go and read the story, it is a fucking dream role because she's like a lady warrior and she's a badass and she like self-immolates herself. It's awesome. Like she's on this whole team of sisters, the Valkyries, that are like, and it's wild to watch people do it live. It's so rad because it's just like women kicking ass, like Wonder Woman Island, like that
style. Oh my God.
Yeah. So that is actually... I'm not sure which opera it is from. It's a Wagner opera, Ring Cycle.
It's just one of those.
Sure. I'm not a huge Wagnerite. So there's people who like really specify in that.
Oh, like, so people gravitate towards like specific.
Yes. And they like will nerd out over like one composer or like one genre or one type. Just like movies.
Do you know, would it be how many genres are there? Is it endless?
There's quite a few. And that's why I always tell people like, if you see one opera or like you've had one experience that you don't like, that's like reading one book.
It's the same with comedy.
Yes.
People don't think about the fact that there are sort of, I don't know how to name them, but there are. Yes. Somebody talked about recently how there's genres. So it's like, yeah, that could just not have been your opera.
Sure, totally. Or like maybe you hated the singer, maybe the costumes you thought were... My mom has come to an opera and hated the wig. I'm not kidding. She's like, I can't take this wig. I can't watch this woman in this ugly ass, long,
I can't take this
ratchet,
wig seriously.
Ratchet wig. So yeah, it could be you don't like the singer, you don't like the language, you don't like the style. There's so many different genres, just like movies, music. It's like listening to one CD ever and being like, I hate music.
Music.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of different stuff. There's funny stuff, there's tragic stuff, there's dramatic, there's... really avant-garde, like weird
just
modern
bizarre
art.
Bizarre. Like, this yeah, makes
like,
no
like,
sense.
Screeching and like, rah! Like.
So I could do opera. That's great.
Yeah, totally.
Good to know.
You could.
Do you have a favorite genre to perform?
So I love Italian opera and French opera, which is kind of like basic.
But the thing is like, when anyone goes like, that's so basic, it's like, oh, you mean. Easily likable, like when people are like, oh, pumpkin spice, or I don't even like pumpkin spice, but it's such a Ugg boots, and it's like, yeah, they're comfortable.
Yeah,
everyone likes it.
It's likable for a reason. Like, there's a reason it's popular.
Yeah, like I'm not sticking tacks in my face. Yeah. Like it's not. So I just in general have a problem with the term basic. So
I would say if I had to like pick one or two composers, Verdi is like my fave.
Yeah. Italian,
yeah. Okay. He wrote so many. And you can, like, he was able to take the most boring story that if you were to read the story on paper, you're like, oh my God, there's no fucking way I could sit through this. It's 5 hours. It's just bullshit. This is so boring.
Oh, wow.
And I've sat there and not moved, like standing room only, like not even have a seat and been able to sit through like a 5 hour Verdi because it's just the music is so good.
Oh, wow.
On the other hand, like I've seen Mozart operas that I've like left or like slept through.
They're so like, everyone talks about this Mozart guy and this.
Mozart's great. Not to hate on Mozart, but yeah, it depends on what you're seeing. It depends on the production and the people and the story and the singers and everything else. So Verdi's a fave. I feel like he's pretty safe. And then I love Massenet. I was a French minor in college.
Okay,
so
you kind of know
nerdy.
More French?
Yeah.
All right.
And Massenet is just like, it's exactly what you think of French music. It's like gorgeous and lyrical and romantic. And it's, yeah.
Oh my God.
If you want to get like really just like the diabetes of music, like get into some French music. It's
just,
gorgeous. Yeah.
The diabetes of music.
Yeah.
Cannot wait.
Yeah.
You're at what? A soprano?
I'm a soprano.
Yeah. What's that? Okay, so there's soprano.
There's soprano. There's
altos.
Yes.
But is a mezzo-soprano higher than a...
Yeah, sort of. So we don't call them altos.
I just...
A soloist. I
know like school choir terms.
Yeah. No, actually that's correct. And I am probably failing my music history professors right now because I don't know why they switched from like mezzo to an alto.
History schmistry, as long as you can sing.
Whatever. Yeah. So there's a mezzo, which is a little bit lower. It's a lower female voice.
Okay.
And there's also a contralto, which is even lower.
What is? I feel like
it's amazing. It's like what I wish I was.
That's like Amy Winehouse heroine voice?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's
like
my
super
jam.
Super husky, like sexual.
Yes.
Contralto. And most women are sopranos, me included. And I just think we're so annoying and like chirpy.
Really?
Which, yeah.
You don't love it. That's the thing is when I was in... Not to brag, high school choir.
Actually wasn't in choir, so I never got to be in high school choir.
Oh, well, I won the Spirit Award, if you're wondering how good of a singer I am. They're like, you got a great attitude.
The cheerleader.
I demanded to be a tenor.
Oh.
Because I have a low voice, but I didn't want to sing the fucking, what is the harmony or the melody? I don't even know the difference.
It does have harmony usually, doesn't it?
No, they got to, I feel like they got to sing like the fun parts.
Okay.
Well, and I feel like altos were always like, like the just, is that the harmony?
Yeah, usually altos on harmony.
Okay, I meant I can't remember the shit. Yeah. Melody. I wanted the fun, like poppy parts of the songs. So I just... insisted that I was a tenor, and the teacher's like, okay,
whatever.
But I used to envy all the sopranos because I cannot hit a high note, and this is so insane, but in my head I was like, in my head all these sopranos are like, oh, we're so much better than the rest of you.
No, it's
they probably, is that a real thing?
Yeah, that's a real thing. I think they really do.
Are there like
maybe
opera?
Not. I'm hating on my own kind, so I feel like it's fair.
Yeah, but I guess it's like you have competitive moments, but like I just imagine a sing-off where someone's trying to hit the highest note and you're like, bitch.
Actually, to be that definitely happens, but of course with men.
Oh.
So the tenors are the high voice of the men.
So they're like, look what I can. I'm the next Justin Timberlake or whatever.
Yeah, they come in and they're like, they'll be like, you're getting ready for a rehearsal or something on stage. Just like everyone's chilling, right? Sitting down, drinking coffee. And there's some tenor with a stupid fucking scarf, like running around the
stage. La, 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 la.
Exactly, and you're like that. And you're like, could you please sit down? Like, we've heard enough. So they're really, I'm married to a tenor. So
they showboat.
Yeah. He's a showboat. Love you.
That was your whole wedding night was ending like,
Everyone asks if we sing to each other. And I'm like, absolutely not.
You're like, I would fucking.
Yeah. I can't imagine anything more horrendous or stressful.
Well, it's just like, I can't imagine just being with one person and they're like, I'm going to sing a song for you. And you're
No. Please stop. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, it's my gift. I'm like, oh.
No. Yeah.
Fuck. Even if they're a really good singer, that's just so uncomfortable.
It's so like self-indulgent. I find it very self-indulgent.
Oh, you have to be like, listen to what I can do.
I'll pull a song out of my repertoire.
In a foreign language. On that note, how often do you have no fucking clue what you're saying when you sing?
Never now, because...
Do you like...
I was drilled into me that you have to translate everything.
You learn what you're saying, because then otherwise that's you won't have the emotion.
Step. Yeah. So first step is always fully translate, like your full score, full aria, whatever you're doing, you fully translate it. Now that I've done that a lot since I was younger, there's some like... With my French studies, I can read the French.
You can pretty much just get
it. Yeah, Italian's pretty easy now.
Yeah, usually they're kind of close, too. And if you've done it a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, I don't translate English if it's in English. And, like, the German I'll have to go through usually.
Like, or, word like, by word.
Czech, I would have no idea.
Have you ever tried to sing a Czech or Russian?
Yes. Yeah, I have.
I just can't.
It's brutal. For English speakers, I mean, it's gorgeous. Again, it's gorgeous music. It's like ballet music. It's beautiful
by ballet looking people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's and the hard part about like Russian is you can't even like they don't have the same alphabet, so you can't see what the words are. Like you can't see the word differences, so you're just making sounds in a row. You like, don't even know
where the word ends
where the word
or
ends
what
or starts. You have no idea. So it's rough.
Oh, what a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be hard, especially for just I don't know, trying to put on a performance. It's one thing to just sing words, but...
Yes. So there's great people that are, like, Russian that can coach you on it. Like, that's the only reason any of us are able to do anything from, like, the time we were 18 to now is, you know, awesome teachers and coaches and stuff who have done it before or speak Russian or speak Czech or speak whatever.
So, like, you couldn't do it without them?
No way.
Have you done an English opera?
Yes.
What was it?
I love English opera.
Okay. I just don't know.
It's, again, a very specific genre, and it's a lot of it's newer.
Okay.
Especially American opera is newer because we're not that old of a country.
Yeah.
And a lot of these things were written way before, you know, U.S. was even...
Thought of.
Yeah.
When people were wearing wigs all the time.
Yeah, like, just for fun, you know. But... English opera. I love English opera, one, because it's native language, so it's like really cool to sing in. And it's a little bit newer, so it's got a lot of like jazz elements and some more modern elements. So it's not going to sound anything like Mozart from like 1700.
Which is so classical.
Yeah, super classical. So it's changed a lot. And a lot of American operas and English operas take on more... they're new, so they're taking on really... like pertinent current events.
Yeah, newer concepts.
Yeah, way newer concepts. Like there was one about this, what was that cult in Texas where they like rescued the, I mean, there's been so many.
Oh,
I think it was like the Warren Jeffs cult or something.
I was going to say Jim Jones or one the of those. Kool-Aid cult.
Yeah, it's probably like a mix of all of those.
There's so many.
now I can't remember.
There was an opera about that?
Yes, and it's so cool. It's called Dark Sisters, and it's basically like... The other part that's cool about it is it's all women. Because all the women were the ones who were stuffed down in the basement, Kimmy Schmidt style. Not funny. Yeah, so... it's like this whole opera where it's all women and it's these six women who get rescued from this cult.
Oh, wow.
And there's one man and it's the cult leader. Oh, and it's, so it's super interesting because it's in English. It's got these like flashbacks with, like a CNN panel or like a news panel. So you can see like it's very modern.
So it's very modern.
Yeah. And it's gorgeous and it's in English and it's a story everyone knows because it's just been sensationalized on our news.
Yeah. So it's just seeing that.
Yeah. So that's by Nico Muhly and it's called Dark Sisters and it's really cool.
Everyone go check that out immediately.
Super cool.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Did you think that when you switched into studying, when you got into like classical music, were you like, yeah, for a living, I'll probably do opera? Or were you like, well, I'll just do this and then I'll teach music?
I always wanted to perform.
Okay.
100%. Like, it didn't matter what it was, but I wanted to perform. So I went in. Yeah, as soon as I turned to opera, I was like...
I'm an opera singer now.
It's 100. Yeah, like, balls to the wall. This is what we're doing.
No turning back. Fuck.
Yeah, which of course, I mean, you know, as an artist, like some days you get like, what the fuck am I doing?
You're like, I could have worked in a stable office job.
Yeah, like what, should I go back
and
to
just
med
like
school?
Crying like, on the floor in my underwear, like, why?
What am I doing to myself? So yeah, but once I decided, it was just like,
and then
let's go.
So where'd you graduate from?
I went to Boston U for my undergrad and then I did my master's at Manhattan School of Music.
Okay. Okay. And then how did you end up in Prague?
Okay. So there's been like a huge exodus. Not really. It's been going on for a long time. American singers often come to Europe because there's so many theaters here.
Yeah. And it just seems like opera is like an actual,
it's a thing.
It's a more popular thing that people come to see.
Yeah. It's very, it's really supported by the community. It's supported by the government. It's like, they are not getting rid of it.
Like, it is not going anywhere.
No, like budget cuts are not happening to a lot of the arts where they have happened.
Oh, in the U.S., they're just like, we don't need art.
Yeah, that's like the first thing that gets cut.
Yeah.
So just, yeah, so there's a ton more opportunities. And this is also the place that, of course, the art form was born. So if you want to work with people who are in the lineage of, like, I coached this with
the
Mozart,
greatest.
I coached this with, you know, a couple generations removed. But a lot of it's just like... You have to be there.
You want to go where the greatest people are.
Yeah, yeah. So this has been... And a lot of American singers go to Germany. There's a lot of American singers everywhere. But
yeah? What made you choose Prague over...
I started in a festival here.
Ooh.
I got a fellowship for a festival last summer. So summer 2017, which was an amazing opportunity. And I had been... It's always been a dream of mine to live in Europe. Even before I was a singer, I was like, I'm going to live in Europe.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I just love it.
It was a thing. I was like, I don't care how it's going to happen. Even if I'm not singing and scrubbing the floors or something, I want the experience of living in Europe.
I'll sweep the floors if I have
to. Yeah. Cinderella, oh my gosh.
And you're like, my God, I hope I don't have to.
Yeah. So I'm not sweeping floors, so that's good. But so the opportunity came up and I had been going back and forth so long with Germany and with France and I don't know, my German's not that good and blah, blah, blah. And I just feel like I got this awesome opportunity to go to Prague. I met people here to work with, conductors, directors, coaches, And it was like
fate.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, this is where
I go. This is where I go. Yeah.
Yeah. Had you thought about Prague at all before this? You weren't like, ooh, Prague.
A book report on it. I feel like when I was in the fourth grade, and I've been looking for it ever since.
Just because that's amazing.
Yeah. And it was on like, remember the old Macs with like the, when you printed it out, it was like really light gray.
Yeah.
Like you had to like go to the one house with a computer to type it. Oh, I can see it in my head. I have this book report about Prague.
That's so funny.
That's somewhere. Yeah. And I really want to find it because that's all I really
knew of Prague.
About it. Yeah.
And then you end up living here. That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's how I ended up here.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So do you think it's always going to be opera for you? Do you think you could ever like...
I would
love... Do you ever have fantasies? You're like, I'm going to break out from opera and be the next Pat Benatar.
I do. And I still do... I feel like I'm lucky in that I grew up doing musical theater and, and pop music and stuff. So I can still kind of go into that.
Yeah.
I just did some jazz and some folk and country music at my sister's wedding.
Oh my God. I love that.
Yeah. So whereas there are people like, my husband's like, no, I do opera. That's it. Don't ask me for anything
He's
else.
He's an opera purist.
He's a purist.
Oh.
Nothing else. Like nothing ever. And I'm totally open to like, any kind of music, any kind of performing.
You just love
like,
to sing. You love to perform.
Yeah.
Like you would love to, would you ever like, are there, do people do musicals out here? Like
they do, but they're in Czech.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah.
Go.
Sign me up. But yeah, they do, which I would have loved to have done. Cause they do a lot of musicals, a lot of ballets, a lot of operas and, but they're in Czech.
Well,
and my
shit.
Czech is not great.
Oh man. Do you, I don't know how insane of an idea this is. Would you ever want to like write an opera? Is that a thing? Or is that?
Yes, it is. I've thought about it. You probably know what this is like. It's a little bit of a boys' club.
I don't know about opera, so I just don't know that, but that's, I definitely know what that's like.
Yeah. So, there's been more of a push for like female composers and like people producing opera, which is cool. I might love to do it like when I'm older. Like I think it'd be something cool to do like when you're a little bit older, like maybe you're not performing as much.
Yeah, because it would be hard to do it and perform. And if what you really love is the performing, that makes sense. I want to write a musical so bad. Just a funny, I don't know. I have several ideas. Yeah. I feel like one day I'm going to put out a music album, but people are going to expect it to be funny and it's just going to be all these sad songs and people will be like, what? I don't understand why. And I'm like, this was just for me. And they're like, I don't know what's wrong with her.
I would love it.
Well, let's collab.
Yeah. Sad music like, is my thing.
Oh God. I'll lean into a sad song. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how I was talking to someone about this recently, but how happy music can't always lift your spirits, but a sad song can just always rip me apart. Yeah. I'm just like, I could be having the best day and I just turn on some fucking, I don't know, Adele shit. And I'm like,
Or if you're having a bad day and you turn on like your sappy, sad playlist.
You just lean into
and
it.
You're like, yes. This
is what, no, I like bathe in my sadness. I'm like, yes, this is my natural state. Oh, it's so true.
Yeah.
Fuck. Okay, so this is all great. Let's talk about Alaska. Not Alaska. You were Miss Alaska.
I was.
And you're like, I saw the little like,
My deep, dark secret that is easily Wikipedia-able.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I ask myself that every day.
Were you like, I'll just submit myself?
So actually, I graduated from BU.
Because I was like, I didn't get into grad school anywhere. No.
So my plans were thwarted and I really wanted to go to grad school. I didn't get in. So I was coming back home to Alaska and be like, well, what the fuck am I going to do now?
And you're like, ugh.
Yeah, I had some like friends and my sister were like, why don't you enter Miss Alaska? I'm like, you must be joking. That's not my
You're like,
style.
I'm not a pageant, but that's because I thought it was so cool, but I was like, what?
Yeah, I've never done a pageant. Like, and they were like, oh, come on, like you can do the talent part. You'll probably win some money for the talent part. And then like,
who cares? You'll win some money.
So I went through the whole experience of my first pageant was Miss Alaska, which I won. And
somewhere out there is a pageant woman in Alaska who's like, that bitch, my whole life.
Yeah, there's, I got the names. It was an experience. And I remember standing there. I have a very vivid memory. Like, this is why, like, some of this, like, positive thinking stuff, like, doesn't make sense to me. Because I remember standing on stage when they were announcing the winner and being like, it's definitely not going to be me. And hearing my voice and being like, oh, fuck.
What?
Like, at the moment, being like, I am planning on hearing in my voice, like, the other girl's name.
Yeah.
And I heard my own and I was like, there were no tears.
Because you were just like
of shock.
What?
Yeah.
This is not how this is supposed to go.
I just was not prepared. I mean, I learned a lot from the opportunity.
Are there things you're not allowed to say?
No, I'm allowed to say whatever I want, I think. Although I haven't like looked through that contract. But it was just a wild experience. And looking back, I was 22.
Yeah.
The oldest you can be is 23.
Oh, wow.
So I was like a senior, like a grandma.
So there are people in there like, this old bitch.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I don't know if that's true, but I just imagine like my stereotype of like pageant girls. Was there ruthless?
Yes and no. It was a mixed bag, which is one thing I think that I learned from it. Like there were some girls who, this is like once you get to Miss America. There were some
that's
girls
what
that
I'm
like,
really yeah, curious about.
Once you got to Miss America, like as soon as the lights, like, as soon as they found out they weren't in the top 10 or whatever, it was like a fucking light switch. Like, it was like, oh my God, what happened to you? You're a monster. You are not the person that I've been with for the last 2 weeks.
Because you're like bonding hours, and you're like
for 2 weeks.
Fucking.
On the other hand, especially with, there's been a lot of backlash with the CEO.
Has
been run out on a rail, which thank God. I'm very happy
about
that. Yeah,
what a fucking piece of shit.
Yes. Thank you. And when you're in a position of like, when you're 22 and you have all these adults like telling you what to do and you're supposed to be representing your state, it's like you're not allowed to say anything, but you're also 22. So I knew what I believed in, but I didn't have the confidence to say like,
to like stand up and say it.
Yeah.
And
to be like, no, fuck that. I'm not doing that. Or, you know, you're creepy. Did they creep?
Was there like constant creepery?
Yes. And on Twitter, this was in like the early days of Twitter. Well, not the early days, but it was 2009. Like
2009, that's pretty early. Like I think it was 2008, 2009.
So
yeah.
Like there was a lot of, it was my first experience with like Twitter trolls. And like there's all these pageant blogs that I didn't know about.
Oh no.
Yeah.
It's just like a woman heavy breathing behind her computer in a basement being this is my rankings.
Yes. Oh, for real. Yeah. They'll
and she's got
you.
Like a booger on her face and she's like, I'm going to say who's the prettiest.
It's horrible. Yeah. And they'll say like,
no.
And you're with the girls like next to you that are, you know, being just like ripped apart on these blogs. And then the next morning, like you have to go to rehearsal with them or whatever. So it's rough. But I will say, with this backlash, I have come to discover that the group of girls I was with, I knew that they were all like, these are some whip smart bitches. Like they have like law degrees and they're like trilingual and they have like, you know, they're super smart.
So it's not like that like cartoon character of like all they have is that they're pretty.
That's why I think I have such like a, I'm really torn by the whole organization because
you have such a respect for those women.
Yes. And it's not showing them off for what they are or what they can do.
Yeah, it's like it really is highlighting.
It's highlighting all the wrong things.
Yeah, and it's like, why don't we highlight how fucking brilliant these people are? And we're just being like, swimsuit.
Yeah.
They got rid of that, I think, didn't they?
But I think they got, which I'm all for. But I have noticed, like, now that we're all almost 10 years removed, like, my group from Miss America is all these lawyers and, like, badass moms and, like, on the board of all these, like, awesome places and
nonprofits
awesome journalists
and like shit.
And they came out of the woodwork to support the girls who were being like fucked over by the organization.
Yeah, because
they really stood up for the younger generation and they came out and I was like, I had no idea we had the same values.
Like, I just assumed I was alone.
I thought I was alone and I think we all kind of thought we were alone and we weren't.
Oh.
And it's kind of sad to look back on like now we're in our 30s and like you weren't alone. You were with a huge group.
But everyone's
of people.
Like, oh, if I say anything, then I'm the one that.
Yep.
That just speaks so much to our fucking culture.
Yeah.
Oh, it makes me so mad.
Yeah.
You, okay, so that was what, 2009?
Yeah.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
What's it like? First of all, as soon as you get Miss Alaska, are there, I've only heard this from people who, this is, I'm not saying it's the same thing, but people have auditioned for, to be on professional cheerleading teams.
Okay.
Did you have these rules of like your appearance and how you had to,
yes, like expectations?
If, yeah, like if you're in public, you have to look a certain way.
Yes. And it was, it, that was one of the problems with it. I think like there's one thing in looking presentable and there's another when the whole purpose of your existence in this organization or on this planet is what you look,
what you look like. Exactly.
Like that should not be the focus.
When it's like, there's, oh, that's what we're measuring you on.
Yeah. When there's so many other things to like academics or like interview skills, that was what I really wanted to get more out of. But unfortunately, my experience was really centered on what I looked like.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened with, like, God, I can't even remember, with the pageant? Was it just all, I have no fucking clue how a pageant works.
So there's like what?
There's like a swimsuit.
There's an interview.
There's evening gown. Evening gown. And then.
Oh my God, what else is there? I blacked it all out.
Something else with the clothing? I don't know.
Yeah.
They're like, work clothes. It's just like you're a Barbie.
Yeah.
Did you, are they, does everyone do every round?
Yes. So this is how bad of a pageant girl I am. I like can't even, most girls can tell you like the breakdown. Of
it's
the
fine.
Rubric of the
yeah. Well, you just like on a whim were like, I'm going to do this,
remember.
Which is
I blacked it out.
Hilarious, yeah. By the way.
Yeah, so everyone does the prelim round, so you get at least one round in the national competition, and then for the televised portion, they do the prelims before.
Oh, okay.
The televised portion is like the top 10.
Oh, yeah, so they don't even really show everybody.
Yeah, they don't. Mm-mm.
That sucks.
And you have 2 or 3 days of competition before that, yeah, and 2 weeks of rehearsals.
So nobody sees like what everyone's going through. It's just like these are the women who made it. And what are they? Do you even know what they're really judging on? Is it just political and they just decide who they like based on?
Because
I don't know.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I know that the girl who won my year is rad. I love her.
Yeah,
she's super talented. She does great work in the community and like for, I think she does nonprofit work. She's awesome and really cool personality. And all the girls who are in like the top 5 or 10 my year were, they were like
stellar.
Yeah. Super like super talented, really whip smart, really involved in like philanthropy and the community and everything. So I didn't think I wasn't like, well, she went
like
for
anyone. This bitch.
Yeah. For me, I wasn't like, well, they all look great to me and they're super smart and like,
no one's in there like looking like they crawled out of a bush and you're like, wait, but how did Miss Kentucky get in there?
Yeah.
And she's like,
what? Everyone can form a sentence and like,
so it's just kind of like whoever gets it. It's where the dice rolls.
Yeah.
For you, for other women, they're like, this is what I've been working for my whole life.
Think about it. Like the whole, her job is basically to be a philanthropic ambassador for America. So you don't need someone who like looks good in a bathing suit and can play like the xylophone really well. Like, you don't need, that is not part of the job description.
Is that just for entertainment? Or is it just like a thing to be like, look what women can do?
I guess. And the talent part really gets to me because like, I've never seen a stand-up comic.
I would love to see a stand-up comic.
I would love to see one.
What's the age cutoff? I'm trying to think of anyone I know. Everyone I know is too old.
23, 24. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on any of these facts and
figures. Like, there must be someone out there.
Yeah.
Well, I guess. Well, I also think that like stand-up comedy is, I don't know. Some people view women who do stuff like that as aggressive, and I don't know if
even better.
But which I think is great.
It's a talent, you know. Like, or there was one girl who from Alaska who I think competed like a couple years before me. I remember her being older, who she was like a champion figure skater. Like what do you mean she has to find another talent because it can't be performed on the stage? Like, how ridiculous.
Yeah, that's stupid. Watch that? A video or like film her somewhere else.
Yeah, what if you're a badass like basketball player or somebody and that's a skill.
They're like,
that's
can you sing or dance or play an instrument?
Yeah, so it's really limited to talent that you can perform on a stage.
On a stage, which
also
is good for you.
Yeah. What if you're an awesome writer?
They're like, oh, we don't care.
Yeah, it's just hard to present. So it's really limited medium, too.
So are you Miss Alaska for a year then?
Yes.
I assume that's how that works. Mm-hmm. Did you have to do a lot of public appearance?
Yeah, I did some. I was going back and forth between New York and Alaska because I was trying to get into grad school.
Because I'm trying to.
I was like.
Trying to get the fuck out of here.
I'm trying to get into grad school. Like, that was my original plan.
You're like, this wasn't supposed to. I was just supposed to get a little money.
Yeah. So I was going back and forth to, like, get into grad school, which eventually happened, thank God.
Yay.
Yeah, but I did do some appearances, and it's funny, like, Alaska stuff, like the state fair and like sing a national anthem at a lot of places.
Does it feel like silly being I don't know if you feel this way, especially like in Alaska having this like pseudo celebrity status where you're like, I am just a person who lives here, and then there's, I don't know, I imagine little girls especially, I don't know if did people you know start treating you differently?
I did have some like old, I wouldn't even call them like boyfriends, but like some dudes from like back in the day come out of the
like
woodwork.
Used to flirt with or whatever, and they're Sydney.
Yeah, they'd like come up on Facebook or Twitter and be like, oh my God, I heard like blah blah blah, you won Miss Alaska. I'm like, get out.
You're like, yeah, no, this is not,
get out.
It's like, it should be a pretty red flag that I'm too good for you in case you didn't pick up on that years ago.
Or like, now you want to talk to me? Like, now that's awful. Like, I know
now that I did a pageant.
Yeah. Like, please no.
Man.
Yeah.
Fuck. That's insane. Was it? Because that was right around the time. I mean, 2009 was right after 2008. We all know it.
Oh.
It's a fact. But like with the election that had just happened, because that was the.
Did you know about my intro? My Sarah Palin intro?
Oh, I feel like I did, and now I don't remember
this
what happened.
This is where I got the most backlash from, but it's. Okay, so you know at the beginning of the pageant, everyone has to come out and be like, I'm
such
Miss
a, yeah.
Alabama from the state's number one, like whatever, yes. Roll Tide or whatever they say. So you say a state or a fact about your state.
Yes.
So I had a couple like, you know, rolling around, and for the prelims, you do the opening number for rehearsal for the broadcast. So every night I would try a different one, and like I think the second night, I'd had some friends who were like kind of, you know, like, oh, it was right when the Tina Fey.
That I Can See Russia From My House.
Yeah, I Can See Russia From My House sketch came out. It was right around the same time or close to. And I was like, you know what? That'd be like a funny intro. And my friends were like, yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
So I came out for one of the rehearsals and I said, I'm Miss Alaska. No, I can't see Russia from my house. Like, ha. And the organization that was prepping me, the Miss Alaska organization, was not thrilled, to say the least. They were super pissed. They were like,
why?
They were like, absolutely not. Like, so disrespectful. You cannot say that. Like, which I'm not even insulting Palin. That was something that Saturday Night Live did.
Nobody remembers that. That's not a thing Palin said.
She didn't actually say that. Yeah. So it was just like a funny cultural
reference.
It's just
like a, because now people are going to think that we can all see Russia from our house.
Yeah. So I pulled it. And the next night, I didn't say it. I said something different. And the producers came up to me afterward and said,
Why didn't you
say that? You have to keep it in. And I was like, well, I'm kind of afraid I was going to get in trouble. They're like, no, keep it in.
They're like, we want the drama, the ratings. They're like, this entire pageant is resting on you, Miss Alaska.
Yeah. So I kept it, my one line, my like claim to fame. And
now I did. Because as soon as you started, I was like, oh, wait.
Yeah. The Sarah Palin thing, which it wasn't. Again, it's not about Sarah Palin.
No, it's
it was
like
a cultural reference. Which I have my own thoughts about Sarah Palin, but
it could have been, but it wasn't.
Could have been, but and so that's when like the Twitter trolls started. I had to like
a bunch of like super Republican Alaskan people, or just people
just
in general.
People, you know,
just
on the Palin train.
I don't know who those people.
Awful.
Yeah, because I just remember having to deal with people constantly asking me about it. They're just like,
weird.
Is that how people?
Yeah.
In Alaska, and I'm like, why don't you have that accent? And I was like, nobody talks like that.
Yeah.
I don't, no she's one. Crazy.
Yeah. We're not like that.
No.
She's awful. So no, please no.
Yeah. Fuck. Well.
Yeah. I'm not a Republican, so if you can't tell.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not either. And I.
Yeah. So the Palin thing was a moment in time that, yeah, showed me what Twitter was like. And
if you could do it all over, would you do it again?
I don't know. Yes, I would, because I have a lot of regrets about things that I wish I would have spoke up about that I didn't.
Yeah.
And which is really hard to my. So two of my judges were Rush Limbaugh.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I am very serious. Rush Limbaugh
has no business judging any women, yes. Judging anything. What?
Yeah, like, and also just not appropriate. Like, why? In retrospect,
creep.
Like, yeah, why? Like a bunch of like these girls are like 18 to 23, 24.
Like, yeah, like no. What are you doing here?
So he was one of my judges. I'm trying to think who else. Vivica A. Fox was one of my judges.
That's cool.
And I remember her asking me like a very pointed question about abortion. And it was, are you pro-choice? And all I could say, I was so riled up before about the question previous had been by Rush Limbaugh about.
To you?
If I thought the media was being unfair to Palin. And I said, no, because she's in the spotlight. And if you're a public figure, I think, you know, that's part of like what you're going to have
to do. If I say something stupid up here right now, I should have to deal with that.
Yes. Like whatever comes out of your mouth, you're going to have to deal
and
with.
And you're just like, you fucking.
Yes. So I got so riled up about this question and I wasn't happy with how I answered it that then Vivica Fox asked me this question and all I could say was yes.
Yes.
Like I got so just like. Wrapped up around, and I remember there were a couple instances like that about like very pointed questions about, because a lot of the questions they ask you in interview or for onstage questions are very culturally relevant. Like,
yeah,
they're very like these girls are being asked how to fix ISIS. They're being asked about like,
and you're like, this is so much pressure.
Transgender policy. Yeah, like it's crazy the stuff that they're being asked. So I wish that I would have had like the confidence to really. I knew what I believed, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't like speak up for myself. So I would do it all again just to be
more
really, really like outspoken. Clear. And,
yeah. Well, that's interesting too when you think about that, like whoever wins is selected by a panel of judges. So it's like,
yeah.
So at this point, whatever your answer is, you're trying to pander to the judges. Like if you want to win.
Yeah.
It's but then America's watching and making their own decisions. I kind of personally like that you just went, yes.
It was a very like, yes. I'm glad I said yes. But I just remember being so like, you're getting questions. It's almost like a press junket or something. Like people are firing
just
questions
firing
at you, and it's
questions.
Like, oh shit, I'm 22. Like Rush Limbaugh is asking me. About
if I wasn't before like, Rush Limbaugh asked me that question, I am now.
Yeah, like, yeah. So then you know, I just wish that there had been like things that I would have been more vocal about.
What's just that
how
like
I feel?
Thinking. I mean, it's on a much smaller scale. It's that. Feeling of when you have an argument with someone and later you're like, if only I'd said this.
Exactly.
Where like, I wish I could have just made like a fuck you quip and been like, yeah, I didn't win, but I told Rush Limbaugh to eat my ass and fucking go to hell. God. Oh, that makes me so mad.
That actually happened to me last night at the comedy club.
What happened?
This guy came up and said he was from Boston. So I said, oh, are you really from Boston? Yeah. I said, oh, I went to BU. And he goes, oh, wow. That school's really expensive. You must have crazy student loans. And all I did was like, haha, laugh.
Yeah.
And afterwards I was so fucking pissed because I wanted to be like, I wouldn't know how expensive it was because I'm smart and I got a scholarship.
I got a scholarship.
Like, fuck you. It's not like, and also why is investing in your education? Like,
why
are you shitting on people for spending money on their education? And also you don't know nothing about my money.
Yeah.
So
you're like, maybe I am rich.
Yeah. Maybe I'm rich. Maybe I got it paid for. So
yeah, you're like, maybe
I'm not rich, but
what's also just like to assume anyone.
Yeah.
And I'm someone who's buried in student loans because I drank so much. I lost my scholarship. So take it from me. You can't assume anything about anyone. Oh, that's so annoying.
But then I spent the rest of the night being like,
I should have said this.
Oh, should I go back up to him and say this?
That's the one redeeming thing of comedy is that I can just retell a story and pretend that like, and then you're never going to believe what I said. Yeah. I didn't say it.
Yeah.
I've so far never really done that, but well, no, that's not true. Fuck. Would you have... Do you have any advice for women trying to pageant it up, doing pageants?
Well, I'm hoping
that it'll shift?
Yes, I'm hoping it'll shift because I'm definitely not supportive of the current the structure that I went through at all. Like,
well, do you see a bunch of women? I mean, I'm literally thinking of like the music video from Pretty Hurts with Beyonce. Yeah. But like, do you feel and see that pressure of like magnified body image?
My whole year was made about by the organization that prepped me. I felt like my entire year was focused on what I looked like, and most of it was on losing weight. It was the first thing they told me the night after I won.
It's like, congratulations, you need to lose 10 pounds.
Yeah, they were like, you look like you've never worked out a day in your life.
Which is so insulting.
So insulting. And like, if you can imagine, who in their right mind wants to get up? There are very few women who want to get up in a bathing suit and like walk down a stage. I was terrified. I had been in tears the night before, and I was like, Mom, I can't do it.
They said that to you.
Yeah. And also I was coming off of, I had a really bad eating disorder in college. I was bulimic all the way through college.
Yeah. You're
so
like,
I had just gotten over it.
You're like, I'm finally happy and healthy.
I had finally,
like, I'm going to cry. That makes me like devastating. The dragon,
and then I felt like the world was like presenting me with, okay, now deal with this. Cause someone's going to tell you.
Yeah. It's like, how strong are you really?
Yeah. And so the whole year, instead of it being about prepping me for interview or getting me out to do more community service and do more
like
philanthropy,
doing better for the community.
Yeah, like focus on what you have to have a platform. So like, what did I really want to do?
Yeah.
And so it was just more on like lose weight, lose weight, lose weight. And so that was my whole year. And
it was just,
that's just not, it's
healthy.
It's not healthy. It's not important. There's nothing to do. It's just like, what? So you don't feel embarrassed in a bathing suit on stage?
Yeah. It's like, so that
it's awful.
You're skinnier than the girl next to you. Like, what do you?
And everyone there is like bone thin by that week, you know?
It's like, especially, I mean, I assume like the lifelong pageanters who have been like, this is their fucking Olympics. Like,
yeah, they've got it. Like,
they have been hiding diet pills their whole life for this. Yeah. Like, they're just, I mean, I have some friends that can And they're not even pageant people. They're just Hollywood people. They're like, when they need to drop weight, I'm like, this is terrifying.
Yeah. They've got it. It's a system. They've got it down.
And I'm like, no, I'm just going to be what I am.
Yeah. And what kind of message is that? It's a horrible thing to teach
young women.
Young women. And that age is very young. It's still
And then you have younger girls looking up to you.
Yeah. It's still very young to make it all about what you look like, and you have to have this plastic surgery to, you know.
Were there girls with a bunch of plastic surgery?
There were a few with plastic surgery, which again, I'm not against plastic surgery if that's like,
that's what makes you happier,
if that's
like
what
whatever
makes you happy and it's gonna make you feel better, whatever. But if you feel like you have to have it
to be worthy of love or to win a, like,
yeah, to be worthy of a pageant, like, absolutely not.
Like, that's for what,
not
a crown?
Yeah, it's just not.
You're getting injections or tits or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, so I hope that if they do, if Miss America wants to stay around, it needs to update, because it's complete, like,
it's so backwards.
It's so backwards. It's so irrelevant. I mean, it's all about what you look like. These are the things we're like fighting against right now.
So yeah.
It really needs to be. And if we want someone to represent America, okay, why does she need to walk on stage in a bikini? There's no point.
Yeah. You're like, that's, what is that doing for us?
Yeah.
That'll change the world's perception of us.
Yeah.
Thank God, a woman in a bikini. She's here to save all of us. No. Don't ask her any questions.
Yeah.
We don't care about that part. Smile. Vaseline on the teeth.
Work out more.
Yeah. You look like you've never. I cannot believe that. Do you remember what was your platform?
My platform was women's health.
I was going to say, I wonder if anyone's done specifically an eating disorder. Like,
yeah. So I think someone has. I'm sure people have. I just can't like pinpoint a name. I feel like I've heard it before.
I'm sure.
But yeah. And it's such, how would you even, that would be like a cutthroat environment to go into with your platform of eating disorder awareness. And you know,
well, I wonder if they're going to come out with, or maybe they already have. I tried to write this into a show that I was trying to sell once, but about, I don't even fucking remember now, but it was about like, a pageant, but for like really ordinary people. And I'm like, I wonder if that's going to be a thing, or if there's going to be a, I can't even think of what.
Think about how much more interesting that would be though.
Of like, just like humans.
Yeah. Because,
and you get to see them of all like shapes and sizes and different backgrounds and
thing you're supposed to look like or say or do. Like, how much more interesting would it be?
Yeah. One, it's like, I feel like even with the evening gown portion and stuff, it's like, people are finding something that looks good on them that fits this sort of
look.
Tone yeah. of, it's the same as like how people shit on, I mean, not that she's a good person or whatever, but like Tanya Harding when she first got into yeah. skating, and they're like, you can't dress like that. And I'm like, yeah. I think it'd be way cooler to just see people be like, this is actually the dress I would want to wear to an evening yeah. event.
Cause even like I picked out a dress and they were like, you can't wear that for Miss America. One, because I'm too hippie.
What?
Like, yeah, you're too short, you're too hippie, you can't wear that, it'll look awful on stage. So like the dress that I wanted to wear, I didn't get to wear.
You're too hippie?
Wouldn't you rather just see people come out and like some, I want it to be like,
you were crazy, an icon.
I want it to be like an award show where people come out with like crazy sleeves and like yeah. pants and like something nuts. Like
just something like extravagant where you like pop out. You're yeah. like, I don't want to wear this chintzy looking prom dress
yeah.
thing that, oh.
We already are all went to prom and had our ugly prom dresses.
You're like, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
I need something eccentric.
Something different.
Yeah. You're, I cannot believe they said yeah. that to you. Fuck you, Miss America. Is that the one that's owned by Donald Trump?
No, he owns Miss USA.
Okay. I don't even know what the fuck the difference is.
Miss USA, there's no talent.
No, it's just...
It's just...
They're like, let's cut to the chase here.
Yeah.
We don't care.
They're kind of honest.
Yeah, at least they're not pretending yeah. to be like, we don't need to hear you ding a bunch of different bells or yeah. whatever. Just be pretty.
Oh, get in the bathing suit.
And, but Miss America's the one that would theoretically go to Miss Universe.
Miss USA would go to Miss Universe.
Really?
I think. Oh my gosh, now that you're...
I don't know.
If I had guns to my head, I wouldn't know.
Well, that's my platform. I'm is no more guns to heads.
Okay.
That's
a good one.
Yeah, I feel like that's fine.
Well, now I feel like also the girls who are coming up, think about all the platform options that they have now.
Well, there's just so much more to talk
yes,
about.
There's so much more to talk about. There's
You're
so much
privy
more.
To so much more news, which is, you know, good and bad.
Good and bad, but...
So you know what's going on, but it's making us all yeah. go crazy because we can't. We're yeah. not, we don't have the mental capacity to handle all the information,
right.
but well, and I also feel like culturally there's been a shift, maybe not in pageants yet. And I do wonder how people like, I just think of these like old, like former pageant, you know, stick ladies with yes. their blonde hair and their like lipstick and they're like seeing all this fucking these real women who are getting famous yeah. for how beautiful they are. Like these like curvy, beautiful, gorgeous yeah. women all over like Instagram. And like, you look at these women who have hips for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
All the things that I don't have. I'm like a weird like jiggly stick, but I'm like, oh, this is what actual women, I mean, women come in all shapes yeah. and sizes, but the fact that that's not, that there's just one weird size represented there. And yeah. I'm like, that's not even most women.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're just going crazy. Like how long before we just have a fucking Miss America who's like, boom, boom, you know?
I wish. Yeah. It'd be great. Or like, why can't, you know, has being in the talent portion or being able to walk in an evening gown, like why haven't we seen anyone who like is in a wheelchair or
yes
like why can't we have a Miss America, you know, who's
yeah.
differently abled or why,
yeah,
why not?
Like I don't know, have there been any like trans women in Miss America?
I don't think so. I think there's been a trans woman in Miss
in like one
Universe.
Of the okay. Oh, I feel like I heard about that, but I don't
yeah.
remember which
yeah,
country.
But why not? You know?
Yeah, it's like why aren't we seeing, especially because America's like such a melting pot allegedly.
Yeah,
and then I feel like every
supposedly.
Time I watch, they're like, well, there's like two brunettes and like one black girl, so it's
yeah.
so there's it's diverse, and you're
yeah.
like, I don't, what is happening?
Yeah.
Fuck, get it together, Miss America. But
I think they will. They've had complete change in leadership.
I think they. I don't
all
think they have a
took,
choice.
Yeah, and all women took over the board.
Yeah,
well, mostly women. I'm not sure if it's mostly or all, but
I think it might be all.
I think it might be all.
Are those all former Miss America people?
I don't think they're all formers,
but
they're a lot
all,
of them are.
Okay,
which is good.
Yeah, that's great.
Kick them all out. Clean house.
Yeah, I also just can't believe there was a man ever running that. Like, what in the fuck? All right. We covered a little bit of opera. I feel like I'm so ignorant. I didn't have enough questions. Anything else? Do you have any insights? Maybe any like pieces of information, maybe dumb things people assume about opera you want to clear up? I don't know if there's questions you normally get. Maybe not.
Well, another, actually just tying it back into, you know, the Miss America pageant is like one look, one type of woman. I feel like opera has gotten a little bit like that too. Like you're expected to like look very classy.
Is it? That's interesting.
And I am more interested in seeing interesting people. I don't like if you have
extravagant
green hair, get
yes.
on stage and sing. Like if you're interesting, I want to see interesting. I want to be entertained. So that's also something that I would like to see change. And I think that's one of the reasons that opera has been struggling to, I mean, they say it's struggling to stay current. It's doing okay here in Europe. They've done a really good job keeping it like hot with the millennials.
Yeah. Like, they're like, ooh, it's for like hipsters or like the opera.
Yes, they've done. Yeah. But it's not a snobby thing. I mean, these are some, a lot of these stories are like real lowbrow stories of like,
I love it.
Domestic violence.
Ah, like, why haven't I been going to the opera?
And like, just, you know, people are dying of consumption because they're dirty artists. And like, it's like, these are not.
This is real shit.
This is real shit. This is not highbrow story. So I wish that opera would get a little bit more, stop being so apologetic for it being what it is. It's,
yeah, it's like fine that it is. Yeah.
Like, don't try to make it something different so people will like it.
Yeah.
Like, it is what it is and you like it or you don't.
Yeah.
But also, I would like to see more. I don't want to see all the girls look like this, like, look of a diva, right? From, like, the 70s or
yeah.
something. With, like, pearls and, like,
you can embrace and, like, how people look and still include that with classical music.
Yes. I would love to see, like, a more.
Someone with a mohawk can still sing opera.
Yeah. It'd be great. I'd love it.
Amazing. And then one more. What is, like, the craziest character you've gotten to play in a real short?
Ooh. I got to do Ophelia, which like that already. Okay. So I do a lot of crazy. It's actually like my calling card is like crazy women. So
that's, I know
there's like, a whole genre of crazy.
I don't pursue acting like very much, but I feel like if I'm ever going to, all I want is just like total psychopath.
So one of my favorite kinds, I guess, or genres of opera is all these stories in mostly like mid 19th century were written with these women who go into literal hysterics.
Hysteria? Yes. Oh, and how they invented the hysterectomy?
Yes. Oh. Yeah. So there are these stories about like something happens to these women. There's always the most fucking terrible things. Like their brother marries them off after their dad dies.
And they're like, this woman's getting hysterical.
Yeah. So she has this like 20-minute long, they call them mad scenes. And they go mad on stage. They like kill people and they, you know, like are seeing things. And so
snapped.
You get this. Yes, exactly, like Snapped. It's like Snapped on stage.
Yes.
Yes. So if you're into Snapped, find yourself a mad scene. So Ophelia obviously has a mad scene.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. It's like one of my favorite things to sing. And I'm covering it right now in a theater in Pilsen. It's just like, it's so rad because you just get to go nuts. And it's so emotional. And yeah.
What is that? What Ophelia? What happens?
Okay.
So For the listeners. Not for me, an ignorant person who lives under a rock.
Spark notes from
from high school. Yeah, I literally am like, I don't remember. As I was like so excited. I'm like, I always loved the name though.
Yeah. So she like, these poor women, like no wonder they fucking go nuts. Okay. So Ophelia already has a brother who makes like weird comments to her that are sexual in nature.
Ugh.
And she's already like a pawn for the family because this is like in the whatever,
or it's like you're
times.
We trade you for goats,
we trade
or whatever
you for goats, or yeah, you're like you're a pawn for us to get what we want. So she's been like talking with Hamlet. They're like talking. We don't know in the story if they've like hooked up or not. I personally think they have.
Sometimes I feel like they have, but you were like not allowed to say that back then. You have to like pretend you didn't.
Sometimes they stage it where she is pregnant. Sometimes they don't, depending. So there's a lot of like inference, and she's like barely a character in Shakespeare's. So in the opera, she gets a bigger role, which is cool.
I love that.
Yeah. So she's like, she's just the side character in the Shakespeare play. And so Hamlet is like her guy she's talking to. She'll do anything for him. His dad dies and his mom marries his uncle. He
comes
to find out that his uncle killed the dad.
That's
so
right.
So his mom was in cahoots with the uncle to murder his dad. So then
I'm like listening to this. Like I've never, I'm just like I've never heard this story. I'm like, yeah. Oh, it's painful.
It's a stage. Like we want to watch this stuff.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah. So then what happens?
Kills the uncle.
Kills the uncle.
Or kills the dad.
He kills the dad. Then Hamlet goes like nuts. He's like, I'm going to fucking, he starts seeing his dad as a ghost. We don't know if he really sees his dad or not.
Or if it's hysteria.
Or if it's hysteria. His hysteria.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he goes like, I'm going to take vengeance on my mom and my uncle. So he gets like driven mad by this. So he starts being like real shitty and shady to Ophelia. Tells her to like go to the nun, get thee to a nunnery. Like, get out.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Because daddy is not playing around.
Yeah. No. He kills her dad accidentally. And then is like, I don't even care. He was just like.
Yeah, whatever.
A side piece that I accidentally killed. And.
Whoops. Oh, well.
Yeah. So then she goes nuts.
Yeah. Which, fair. Like, you would.
Yeah, she's probably like 14. I mean,
people are like, she's hysterical. It's like, yeah, she should be.
Yeah, so she drowns herself.
Yeah. And you get to sing all this fucking crazy.
It's awesome.
I want to see.
Yeah.
All right. That's amazing.
So all the mad scenes, if you're into like Snapped.
Fuck yes.
You can see them on stage.
I have to come back here again when you're in CU being mad. Yeah. All right. How can people find you?
I have a website, SydneyWagner.com. I'm on Twitter and Instagram.
Find her. Come to Prague. See her music.
Yeah.
Put her in your award-winning musicals. Put her in your musicals if you want to win awards. Okay?
Only if.
Yeah. Only if. She's has won at least a pageant so far. So.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you. This was like a lucky surprise.
I know it's kind of weird. I just forced it on you. All right, you guys, we're going to go get Prague coffee.
Woo.
Bye.